Blog Talk Radio.
This is paradise.
This is what we need.
That'd be amazing for us.
You start all of my arguments.
Why?
Your book? So you have all the answers, don't you?
What? You don't want people to know we have a problem?
What happened to you?
Tell me, what could the problem be? The past is something I can't change. It's a brand new day. Don't you tell me, not right now. I can't let it go.
No, I can't let it go. Oh, no.
We've got to fix this. Fix this right this minute. Only pure love can calm the noise. Baby, when we get pure love will never come back to us, boy.
Cause nothing should come between us. Trust in me, trust in me.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Born Emmett Perry Jr. in New Orleans, this playwright, director, screenwriter, actor, and producer has gone from rags to riches, having 9 films that have grossed over $400 million since 2005, and that doesn't even include his earnings from his multitude of entertaining stage plays. His most recent feature film release is entitled Why Did I Get Married 2, which stars Janet Jackson, Jill Scott, Tasha Smith, and Malik Yoba, among other noteworthy cast members. The film is one of his few sequels and also one of his few movies that does not include his trademark dressed in drag character known simply as Madea. On the positive end, many of Perry's loyal fans categorize his films as uplifting, funny, emotionally moving, and usually Christian-centered. Just about all of his films are characterized by strong female lead characters. But there are some in the entertainment industry and elsewhere who feel that Perry's films reinforce negative stereotypes of both black men and black women. One of his most notable critics is legendary filmmaker Spike Lee, who feels that Perry uses stereotypes that other screenwriters, playwrights, and directors have made an effort over the years to steer away from. What is your opinion of Tyler Perry's most recent release, Why Did I Get Married 2? What are your thoughts on some of his other romantic comedies and dramas, as well as his 2 television shows, Meet the Browns and House of Pain? I'm inviting all of my listeners this evening to call into my show, 646-478-5710, so that you can weigh in with your opinion about this highly celebrated entertainment industry mogul and his films and television shows, as I allow you the opportunity to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy. And I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 8th, 2010. Looks like I spoke too soon about the Midwest having great weather. Remember last week, I was just raving. I was like, oh, man, it's almost summertime. Yeah, I got brought back down to reality, man. We were having, like, weather that was in the 70s and I think even low 80s a couple of days. Now it dropped back down to the 40s and I'm ticked off. I don't like cold weather. As if you all didn't know that. If there's things people know about me, Alan Roger Curry, you know I love chicken wings. You know I love peach snapple. And you know I hate cold weather. If you don't know anything else about me, you know them three things. But tonight I'm asking the question, are you a movie fan? Are you a fan of romantic comedies and romantic dramas? More specifically, are you a fan of romantic comedies and romantic dramas with an all-black cast? And that doesn't mean you have to be African-American because you might be Asian, Hispanic, or Caucasian, and you might be a fan of romantic comedies and romantic dramas with an all-black cast. Coming to America was considered a great romantic comedy. Love Jones was considered a great romantic drama with an all-black cast. I can name a number of both romantic comedies, romantic dramas with an all-black cast. The Best Man, Have Plenty, Love and Basketball. I can go on and on. But no romantic comedy or drama with an all-black cast has, in recent years, caused more interest as well as more controversy than those produced by the one and only Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, he's become a force in the industry, and I don't know, you have people who love him, and you have some people who hate. Well, I wouldn't say anybody hates him. I don't think anybody hates Tyler Perry, but he receives harsh criticism from some people. His films include, in 2005, he made his feature film debut with Diary of a Mad Black Woman, which was one of his most successful stage plays, where he dressed in his trademark drag as the character Madea. That was followed up with Madea's Family Reunion, Daddy's Little Girls, and Why Did I Get Married?, The Family That Prays, Meet the Browns, Madea Goes to Jail, I Can Do Bad All by Myself, and his most recent release is
Why did I get married to? Why did I get married to? Which is one of his few sequels. That's a sequel to his 2007 film, Why Did I Get Married? And tonight I'm inviting you, the listener, to call into my show and discuss Tyler Perry's most recent film, Why Did I Get Married To?, as well as any other film of his you want to discuss. The main people I want to hear from, men and women, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, old, young, are people with strong opinions. If you have a strong opinion in favor of Tyler Perry's films, if you have a strong opinion in favor of Tyler Perry's films, I want to hear from you. If you have a strong opinion against Tyler Perry's films and storylines and characters, I want to hear from you. If you're just kind of indifferent, I don't want to hear from you. I just don't. If you're just kind of like, well, you know, he's okay. I mean, you know, I don't really like him. I don't really dislike him. I don't want to hear from you. Just listen to the show and eat some popcorn. But I want somebody that's either going to call in and strongly praise him or call in and harshly criticize some aspect of his filmmaking. Now, this is one of those shows. This is what I call my open discussion forum. I don't have a guest in the house. Sometimes I have a guest. If I don't have a guest, I have a guest co-host. But then I have those rare shows. I've had about probably 6 or 7 shows where it's just me and my listeners. My listeners and I. And so we're just one together today. And in those type of shows, I'm dependent on you, the listener. Because otherwise, I would just be sitting here just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. Now, trust me, I don't have any problem talking. I like to talk, you know, but I just would prefer that somebody call in. I prefer that my listeners don't leave me hanging. And, now, it's funny. Somebody wrote in the chat room that Tyler Perry worked the Chitlin Circuit like no other. What is the Chitlin Circuit? Now, I know I have some Caucasian listeners that are like, is that the food that they eat? Don't black people like chitlins? The Chitlin Circuit. The Chitlin Circuit, that's like just a, you know, the urban network of the entertainment industry. You're not on the level of really being mainstream. That's the Chitlin Circuit. The Chitlin Circuit, like there's your high-class strip joints, and then there's your Chitlin Circuit strip joints, you know, with the sisters from the streets that are taking off their clothes. Yeah, that's the Chitlin Circuit. You got some comedy clubs that are in the Chitlin Circuit. The Chitlin Circuit. So, yeah, most brothers and sisters know what the Chitlin Circuit is. Wikipedia describes it as the collective name given to a string of performance venues throughout the eastern and southern United States, you know, that were safe and acceptable for African-American musicians, comedians, and other entertainers to perform during the age of segregation. That's the formal definition of the Chitlin Circuit. But, yeah, in a nutshell, Chitlin Circuit was when you went to a venue, you knew it was going to be nothing but brothers and sisters there. You know, some dude on the door's name was Roscoe. And he was like, yeah, man, I don't need to see your ID. Just go ahead. Don't get too drunk or I'm going to slap you. But anyway, he had a lot of plays. That's how he built his brand, was through plays, Tyler Perry. And a lot of people became very big fans, loyal fans of his plays. I know I had a couple aunts that loved his plays to death. And so that's where he first made a name for himself, was through his plays. And then beginning with 2005, is when he made the foray into movies, and it's been very profitable for him. Like, as I said in my introduction, his movies have grossed over $400 million. And so you cannot criticize Tyler Perry at all on the business end. the man is doing his thing. He's doing his thing on the business end. When it comes to marketing, I would say, argue that there's very few people who can criticize him. Where he has been criticized, though, is simply as a director, as a screenwriter. A lot of people feel like he creates characters that, to one degree or another, are reinforced stereotypes, negative stereotypes of blacks. So I want to hear from you tonight. Like I said, if you're going to call in and give me just an indifferent opinion on Tyler Perry, well, you know, I kind of sort of like him. He's all right. You know, I don't want to hear from you. Just don't call in. I want you to express either passion and love for this man and his movies, or I want you to be like, I can't stand Tyler Perry's movies. And give me your reasons why on both ends. Give me your reasons why you love him. Give me your reasons why you dislike him. I don't want just you to say you love him or hate him. I want you to give me some reasons. Let me go to my shout-outs, as I always do. My shout-outs, I love all my listeners. You know I love Al Roger Curry loves all my listeners. And see, when I get to that point where they say Alan Roger Curry's books and films have grossed over $100 million, they'll say he started off on as a radio host on Blog Talk Radio, and he had his loyal fans, and they just loved him. That's what I want them to say. His fans just loved him. His listeners, boy, they loved him some Alan Roger Curry. I never did Chitlin Circuit Radio, but sometimes I've had shows that might as well have been Chitlin Circuit Radio, because we was thick into some brother-sister issues. But in my chat room, I love my chat room listeners. I got Ballers Radio is in my chat room. I got Black Achievement USA in my chat room. Brightness is in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got my two most loyal listeners in the history of Upfront and Straightforward, and that would be Hypert. I don't care what is going on. Any kind of national disaster, whatever, terrorist attack, Hypert is in my chat room. And my other most loyal listener is my good friend, sports fanatic, Adrian, alias Diva, 36, 26, 36. That's right. Diva, 36, 26, 36. I got my cousin from Detroit, talking about brothers and sisters. There's no city they got a higher percentage of brothers and sisters than Detroit. What city is second to Detroit in percentage of brothers and sisters? I bet you don't know. Shame on you if you don't. Gary, Indiana, that's where I was born and raised. That's right. Gary, Indiana has the second highest percentage of brothers and sisters, but Detroit is number one. That's where my cousin resides. Metal Hayes is in my chat room. Now, I got to tell something. I wasn't going to tell, but I'm going to tell it. Metal Hayes, I've mentioned this before, he gets a lot of my guests for me. He refers a lot of guests for me. I mean, and I give him his props. Metal Hayes is the man. Now, he was on the verge of giving me one of my biggest guests, particularly in the attraction and seduction community. It's not confirmed yet. I feel like this guy's going to renege on me, but I don't know. Maybe he might not. But if you're familiar with Mystery, that's right, Eric Van Markovic, alias Mystery, Metal Hayes has been instrumental in, let's say, the negotiations of getting him on my show. That's going to be a huge show. If he decides to do it, it's going to be the Mode 1 approach versus the Mystery method. This is what my readers have been wanting. This is what his fans have been wanting. The Mode 1 approach versus the Mystery method. If that happens, I will keep you posted. I will become a hype machine, because that's going to be one heck of an interview if he accepts the challenge. So far, he has not officially accepted the challenge. I shall keep you posted. I got not Dummy 2414 in my chat room, not Idiot 2414 in my chat room, not Doesn't Know a Damn Thing 2414 in my chat room. No, I got Scholar 2414. He's in my chat room. I got Self-Guided. He's not other people guided. He's not son or daughter guided. He's not mother or father guided. He's self-guided. Self-guided is in my chat room. I got Stacy Royales in my chat room. I got the lead story. That's Mel Hopkins in my chat room. In my chat room, other shout-outs would be the very beautiful and talented Tyler Collins, who I'm proud to call my girlfriend. That's right, she's my girlfriend because she's just lovely, sexy, funny, intelligent. Oh, is that too much flattery? Am I contradicting my Mo 1 principles? Okay, yeah, I'm making an exception. She deserves it. I love her to death, Miss Tyler Collins. My brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. Now, Stephen Curry, he's not allowed to say anything critical about Tyler. About Tyler Perry. Yeah, he ain't allowed to say anything negative about Tyler Collins either. But about Tyler Perry, because my brother's wife is quite arguably the biggest Tyler Perry fan in the Midwestern region, if not the country. Her and her sister, Denise Edmond, man, Denise and Angela, boy, you can't even come in the house if you say something negative about Tyler Perry, boy. They look at you like, boy, I'll slap you. They take Tyler Perry serious. Yeah, that's right. Other shots be my cousin, J.P. Jones in Chicago, after ball, Maplewood, New Jersey, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam the third, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, Will Wavy, Kathy Holloway Hill, Chad Hunter. The last few are colleagues of mine on Blog Talk Radio, all my Facebook friends. As you know, NCAA, I was a little disappointed. I was a little disappointed with how the NCAA turned out. I wanted Butler to win. They did not win. Duke won. I make no secret of the fact that I don't like Duke. Nothing personal against any of the players, against the coaches. I'm sure they're great people, but on a purely competitive level, don't like Duke, never have, never will. I wanted Butler to win. They didn't, but they played a heck of a game. My hats are off to Butler. They played it. They were a serious underdog, and they got within 2 points of Duke. So, man, you got to give it up for Duke. McNabb is now a Redskin. What do you think about that? Donovan McNabb, who's played all of his life on the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, his name is almost synonymous with the Philadelphia Eagles. And now he's like a Washington Redskin. I mean, that's like don't even sound right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's like, that would have been like Roger Staubach as a New York Giant or something. I mean, you know, that's like Joe Montana as a Detroit Lion or something. I got to get used to that. Donovan McNabb is a Washington Redskin. Tiger Woods, man, and Tiger Woods, you know, I've talked about Tiger Woods on a few of my shows. He was, you know, boning these chicks that was giving him the poo nanny, throwing the poo nanny at him, and then he got up, apologized and said, I didn't mean to take all that poo nanny that was thrown at me and hurt my wife. Evidently, that poo nanny, you know, didn't take away his golf talent because he started the Masters today and he hit a 68. He's like 2 strokes away from the lead. I mean, what's that about? You go through all this drama, this sex addiction rehabilitation and all that. Everybody thought he was going to come back and suck. And the dude is right where he left off. You got to give it up. If you don't give it up to him as a husband, you got to give it up to him as a golfer. As a golfer, give Tiger Woods his props. He got a new Nike commercial that has the voice of his father talking to him and asking him, what did he learn? It's interesting. Check it out. It's on YouTube, a few other sites. It's interesting. It just shows Tiger Woods standing there. He doesn't say anything. And it's the voice of his late father asking him, what lessons did he learn? Interesting. Nike is always revolutionary with the commercials. I got to ask this question of my religious listeners. Now, I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards. I know it, you know, fairly well. But I want to say there's somewhere in the Bible where it talks about the signs of the end of days. I'm starting to think that we're close to the end of days. Maybe I'm just like overreacting, but I'm starting to think that we're towards the end of days. Why? Because it's all these earthquakes, man. How many earthquakes can we have in like 1 year? Indonesia just had like an earthquake that was like 7.8. What is that about? Mexico had an earthquake that was like 6.9 that was felt up in L.A. and felt in Phoenix. What is that about? Brazil just had a mudslide that got rid of like a whole neighborhood. Just like a whole like neighborhood, a whole slum. What is that about? Man, we have some serious adverse weather. Katrina was just the beginning. And again, it's making a brother like me think that we might be headed towards the end of days. I might have to look out for the beast. See, you non-religious types don't know what that is. The beast, the false prophet and all that stuff. So this is what I say. In the 1% chance that we are headed towards the end of days, this is what I say. This is Alan Roger Curry's advice. Go to Hooters and stack up on all the chicken wings you can. Tell them that you want the life pack of chicken wings, and they'll give you an Alan Roger Curry 25% discount. Okay, that's not confirmed, but let's just say they will. Then go to the grocery store and get a whole bunch of peach snapple, a whole bunch of it. Like you just ain't going to never get a chance to buy peach snapple again. You know, just buy some peach snapple, or as my baby, she recommends the Palm X Peach White Passion Peach Tea Pomegranate. I know I just jacked the name. It tastes good, though. It's a close second to peach snapple. It might even be arguably better than peach snapple. But that's what you do. And then you go to your crib, and then you get all the DVDs for Entourage and Californication, and then you're cool. And then just get all the reruns, all the NBA championships and all the NFL Super Bowls, and then you just cool. And then you just stay in your crib, and that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what Al Curry would do. If it comes to the time of the end of days, chicken wings, peach snapple, DVDs of all your favorite sporting events and movies and TV shows. That's right. Sandra Bullock said that she didn't do a sex tape. She said she did not do a sex tape with her now husband, soon to be ex-husband, Jesse James. She said, man, who can picture Sandra Bullock? Then again, we have been surprised before, but I mean, come on. Like, we really think Sandra Bullock would have a sex tape out there. Like I wouldn't be peeking at that mug. Heck yeah, I'd be peeking at that mug. But I didn't think she would have a sex tape. You just have to ask yourself. And I do my show on dating and relationships. And I know a lot of men, sometimes we ask in regards to women, we say, what were they thinking when they dated that guy? And women do the same thing about men. They say, God, what was he thinking when he dated her? And this is one of those moments. You just got to ask yourself, what was Sandra Bullock thinking when she chose this guy to be her husband? I mean, maybe at the beginning he was just this really, seemed like he was totally together and gentlemanly and well-spoken, and maybe he was just hitting the spot just right, you know what I'm saying? And but dang, you know, now that all this is coming out, it's just like, it makes you scratch your head like, dang, you know, what was Sandra Bullock thing? But yeah, she said no sex tape. You know what she said? She said, why did I get married? And then one of her friends said, why did I get married too? Okay, that was a too easy setup for my segue into tonight's discussion. I want to hear from you. Call in 646-478-5710. As I told you, if you don't call in, then I'm going to be here talking all night for like probably like the next 45 minutes to an hour. I'm going to just be talking. And I'm sure you don't want me talking that long, because there's only one person who wants me to talk that long, and that's my baby. That's my girlfriend. She can talk to me for like 12 hours straight and only take a break for some chicken wings and peach and apple. That's how much she loves listening to my voice. But anybody else, they'll be like, dang, Alan, you're just talking too much. So I need to call us. If you're in my phone queue, press 1 if you want to talk.
press 1 if you want to talk. Because, see, if I see your number and it's just your number, then that makes me think you're just listening. You're calling in to just listen. And I don't want you to call in to just listen. I want you to call in and say something. And, again, it has to be a strong opinion. I don't want to hear no weak, indifferent opinion. I don't want to hear, well, I tell you, like, the one movie, it was pretty good, and the other movie, it was okay. No, 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 I don't want to hear that indifferent stuff. I want to hear strongly in favor of, strongly against. Either Tyler Perry is your boy, you'll defend him to the death, or, man, you can't stand Tyler Perry's movies and storylines and characters. But press 1 when you go into my phone queue. To, again, the phone number is 646-478-5710. Press the number 1, and then that's when it'll have this. And when I see it, it looks like this little hand is like got the hand up, and that lets me know you want to talk. So I see about 12 numbers in my phone queue, but I only see about 4 of those 12 with the hand up. So keep this show interesting. I'm going to take a quick intermission break, and then I will be right back to talk about Tyler Perry's latest film, Why Did I Get Married To, as well as any other film you want to talk about to do with Tyler Perry. I will be right back in about 3 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Soup, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight, I don't have a guest in the house. I don't have a guest co-host in the house. I'm having what's known as one of my open discussion forums. I've had about six or seven of those in the last year, year and a half, where I just kind of pick a subject, pick a topic, and open that topic up for discussion to my listeners. I look forward to invite my listeners to call in. I look forward to their thoughts and opinions and preferably strong opinions on a topic. And like I was saying, these shows are kind of risky for me because if I don't get the number of callers I want, then I'm just kind of, you know, forced to just keep on talking and talking and talking. And I know you guys enjoy my voice and my sense of humor and all that, but you don't just want me to, like, just keep talking for like an hour like Tom Lakis. He just talks and talks on the show. But no, I want to hear from you. I want to hear strong opinions about Tyler Perry. I even want to hear opinions that you're strongly in favor of his films, his storylines, his characters, or I want to hear opinions where you're harshly critical. And don't just bash him. I don't want you to call in just bashing him like, you know, oh, I think he's a jerk or asshole or whatever. I mean, give me some specific reasons why you dislike his films, his storylines, his characters, or why you love his films, his storylines, and his characters. I am going to go right now to area code 260. 260, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and I'm discussing Tyler Perry, his latest film, Why Did I Get Married To, and just general thoughts about Tyler Perry and his films. What's your first name?
You know me. This is Angie Shannon.
Angie, listeners, Angie Shannon, I've known her since she was just a little girl. I used to, like, you know, just throw up in the air when she was a little girl.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. Now, wait a minute. What's up with this chicken wing and peach snapple for the end of day?
We were from high school days, but she don't. See, back then, I probably didn't have. I don't think chicken wings were invented when we were in high school.
They had the whole chicken wing back then, and they weren't wings. They were wings.
Yeah, wings. I still call them wings a lot of times. But chicken wings, I'm telling you, Angie, you know, and I'm going to confess my sin to you since you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been into illegal drugs. I've never been an alcoholic, but
we know this.
But chicken
wings. The Lutheran boy.
Chicken wings are the food equivalent for me to crack cocaine. I can't get enough of them. I mean, if you saw that movie with Tom Hanks where he got on that island, I forget what the name of that was.
Castaway.
Yeah, Castaway. See, now if I was a castaway on an island and they said, Alan, you're going to be on this island for 6 months and you can only have like one type of food, it would without question be chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
And they would have to supply me with some peach snapple or some palm eggs, peach passion, pomegranate white tea. But, yeah, those two. I can eat chicken wings literally every day, 2 to 3 times a day. That's not an exaggeration.
Well, you know, they call it the gospel bird now.
You know, I've been telling people, you would get mad at me for this because I've been creating all kinds of blasphemy. But I tell people that there's one book in the Bible. I think it's the book of Tyrone, chapter 36, verse 22, where God said, the closest thing to my perfect food is chicken wings. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. But anyway, we're not here to talk about chicken wings. We're going to talk about
Tyler Perry. No, we're not. We're here to
Perry.
Talk about Tyler Perry.
So, Pastor, give me your thoughts on.
I want to see Why Did I Get Married To, and the brother really needs to consult. Some kind of get with Dr. Coma or Dr. Poussin or any one of his progeny or their progeny with his storyline. It was positively horrible. I mean, there's the Angela character, and not just because my name is Angela, just loud and pathological and being silly and no, not silly, but just dangerous. Shooting up your house. because, you know, you think your husband might be sleeping with somebody. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to shoot, and I'm the pastor. I'm not going to shoot up my house. I'm going to put him out. Mm-hmm. You know, but that was just so pathological before finding out what's going on. Shoot first and make an idiot of yourself and then have to backtrack later. And that piece with the Janet Jackson character and how, I'm not saying that she was a cause of her husband's death, but certainly a contributing factor. How do you live with something like that afterwards, you know? Instead, they have this beautiful funeral ceremony where they're lighting the lamps and sending them away, and then the next scene, 1 year later, she meets someone and he wants to go to coffee. But what we're not talking about, what I think that was glossed over, was accountability as grown people for one's actions. And I just thought that he could even got his buddy Dr. Phil, who helped him on the other film with Madea Goes to Jail, to consult, because he himself, that is Tyler Perry, talks about how there is stigma and taboo for African Americans going and getting good therapy. And I'm going to tell you, as an African American pastor, if I can't help you get it fixed in 3 sessions, I'm going to send you to a therapist for a variety of reasons. But the pathology in this film was just a little too much for this good sister here.
Hmm. Well, see, that's the type of strong opinions I'm looking for. Now, yeah, I saw the film, and, oh, first of all, I got to tell my listening audience, I shouldn't have said this at the beginning, at the outset. Typically, it's common courtesy to announce that you are going to reveal what is known as spoilers.
It's a spoiler.
Spoilers. If you have, no, it's not your fault, it's my fault. I shouldn't have announced that disclaimer at the beginning. But yeah, if you have not seen the film, Why Did I Get Married Too, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be listening to callers such as Pastor Angie Shannon talk about different plot points and storylines in the film.
Spoiler alert.
So, spoiler alert. If you did not see the film, well, I'm almost scared to say don't listen to my show, because I would never want to tell anybody not to listen to my
show.
Right. But you might want to turn the volume down because, yeah, we're going to inevitably be talking about plot points in this film as well as probably some of his other films. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I did appreciate I Could Do Bad All By Myself. But this, the storyline, was just too impaired. I mean, if you're going to hold yourself out as a filmmaker who creates some film for not the sole purpose, because we know this is entertainment and it's a comedy, but the comedy turned really dark. And he has held himself out as saying, you know, I know in our community not a lot of us go and get the therapy that we need, and so this, you know, I hope is helpful, you know. And if you're going to do that, I think you need to get some help. When you get to the limit of your skill set like I do, when I said, well, you know, if we can't get to the root of the problem in 3 sessions, Pastor Shannon is going to send you to a very good therapist whom she trusts. Mm-hmm. But, that's the thing. Because of those points that I just brought up, it ceased to be funny to me.
Yeah, a lot of people, quite honestly, what provoked this discussion for me was, I don't know if everyone is familiar with IMDb. That stands for the Internet Movie Database.
Right. Uh-huh.
And that's the site where you go to if you, like, say, want to look up details on a TV show or a movie or an actor's resume, see what films he's been in or what films he's going to be in. And anyway, associated with each page, there's a message board where people discuss that film. And almost all of Tyler Perry movies, man, the discussion board is, like, heated. It's very contentious. You basically have two groups of people on there. There's people who love Tyler Perry to death and people who can't stand him. And they just go back and forth all day, all week. And so, yeah, if you were to go to IMDb and you look at some of the, you know, threads going on, you'll see people either loving on Tyler Perry or hating on. But most specifically, and you alluded to it, the main thing that he's been getting criticized in this particular film is specifically the ending. The ending. A lot of people are dogging out the last fourth of the film. Because if you saw the original film, Why Did I Get Married? Now, I'll be honest. I enjoyed Why Did I Get Married.
As did I.
I had a few minor criticisms here and there, but overall, that was a very enjoyable film. And I guess one of the problems I had is that it seemed like at least two or three characters made some drastic turns in their behavior and in their MO. And, I was kind of like, okay, they were a solid couple in the first one, and now they're kind of like very dysfunctional.
Reckless. That's the word that comes to mind. Just reckless. The one couple in which Tyler Perry was a part of, they have their little boy and everything seems to be good. And now sister girl is cheating. For what reason? You know? But I still get back to that Janet Jackson character. I have counseled with people who carry guilt for far less damaging things for years, you know, to be a part of the causation or the ball that got rolling that killed your husband that you all were going through a divorce with, and then, you know, all is yippee-skippy a year later. Please, that's not the world I live in.
Yeah, that got criticized on IMDb because, again, listeners, this is a spoiler alert. If you hadn't seen the film, you might want to turn down the volume at least for a few minutes because we are going to be talking about plot points in this movie and it might spoil it for you if you plan on seeing it. But in the film, if you saw the first one, Janet Jackson and her husband, played by Malik Yoba. Now, see, in the first film, that was one of the couples I was referring to. In the first film, they had a couple of minor issues, mainly the death of their son. But for the most part, they were a pretty, you know, close-knit couple. And then in this film, they're, like, totally dysfunctional to the point where they announce that they're getting a divorce. They go through a nasty divorce proceeding. And then towards the end of the film, again, okay, keep reiterating, spoiler alert. Towards the end of the film, she kind of just snaps and gets a golf club and acts like Tiger Woods' wife and just starts smashing up the place. Then later she comes to her husband's job and has a gay stripper jump out of cake and she starts calling her husband all kinds of bitches. You a bitch. If you're going to act like a bitch, be a bitch. And then he drives off and just gets killed. A truck hits his car and he gets killed, and it left a lot of people, not only people who generally say don't care for his films, but what I've been reading on IMDb is that people who are like consider themselves Tyler Perry fans who like most of his films, they didn't even like that ending. They're
like, where
the hell did that come from?
And not only that, she's supposed to be a psychologist. Okay, whatever.
And then a year, they show a year later, after he dies, a year later, she's hooking up with another dude. She's smiling in the air because she's going to hook up with The Rock. And it's like, okay, who just mourns for like a year after their husband just gets killed? Like, I mean, I don't know. It was a trip. It was a trip. And, yeah, that portion of the film is vilified on a lot of message boards. And again, it's not just by the quote-unquote Tyler Perry haters, but you got people writing posts on these boards that they'll preface it by saying, I am a Tyler Perry fan. I normally like movies.
And I am, too. And I love Madea. Madea is, you know, just a toned-down version of my, well, one of my grandmothers. Because my grandmother did carry a gun in her purse. And she did a considerable more cussing than Madea. So, you know, everybody has a Madea in their family. So.
Yeah. Well, okay, I appreciate your thoughts and your strong opinions.
Well, you asked for a strong opinion, and so I thought I'd give it. And one more thing, brother. The end of days, nobody knows when it's coming.
We just know the end of our days when we're just not on this earth anymore, huh?
Okay, then. It's been nice talking to you. Keep up the fabulous work. I lurk and I listen.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Angie.
Mm-hmm. Take good care.
Thank you so much. And get some chicken wings and peach snapple this
week. Oh yeah. I'm going to give you some. Talk to you later. Bye now.
That was my good friend. We've known each other since high school. She used to have some nice parties when I was young and in high school. That's Pastor Angie Shannon. Now I'm going to go to area code 301-301. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your strong opinion on Tyler Perry and this movie or one of his other movies? I want to either hear a strong opinion in favor of or against. What's your opinion?
I'm totally in favor of Tyler Perry for many reasons.
Okay,
we criticize, but look, his movie made $35 million opening weekend. $35 million. If you look at his predecessors, the people who were blacks who were making movies before him, Spike Lee, Robert Townsend, the Hughes brothers, the Hudlin brothers, the Wayans, all of them, you roll them all together, they did produce the success of Tyler Perry that he's done in 5 years. Tyler Perry produces 5 movies a year, every year, like clockwork. Tyler Perry got his own studio. Tyler Perry is making moves in television. You know, black folk kill me. You know, Tyler Perry is out doing his thing. He's creating characters. People love him. If they didn't love him, they wouldn't go spend the money. You know, his movies are, you know, they're not the greatest artistic pieces of work. But look, Roger, 90%, Alan, 90% of what's coming out of Hollywood is junk. Am I right or wrong? 90% of what's at the movies is junk. So
yeah,
this man is.
But we'll just say, yeah, it's a lot of junk coming out.
If I see 2 movies a year that I think is classic, most of it, for me to watch a movie twice is torture. Okay? For me to watch them, it's like, get me the hell out of here. So, you know, Tyler, in my opinion, from a business perspective, from a like take for example, let me give you an example. Take the Scary Movie franchise. Mm-hmm. You know who had the Scary Movie franchise was the Wayans brothers. Mm-hmm. They were directing it. But guess what? They didn't own it. Scary Movie made $170 million, and they had about 4 or 5 different Scary Movies. But the Wayans didn't own it. So when they didn't want to, you know, continue with it, they didn't want to do it, they went out and got somebody else. But my man Tyler Perry owns his stuff. He owns it. Don't nobody tell Tyler Perry what to do with his content. He runs that. I got to respect that. Tyler Perry, you see, what we see in Hollywood is all about promotion. It ain't about top quality pictures. Hey, half of that stuff at the Academy Award was junk. You know? Those movies that was nominated, half of them, I wouldn't dare see them.
Okay, give me a specific example. Give me one example of a movie that was
nominated. The Hurt Locker. The Hurt Locker. There's a reason why nobody saw The Hurt Locker.
I'm sorry. I got to disagree. I saw The Hurt Locker. That was a good film, man.
Oh,
did you see it?
Yeah,
man,
I saw it. It wasn't
Anthony
a good film.
Anthony Mackie should have been nominated for an Oscar. He was robbed.
I agree with that.
It was kind of boring and stretchy. It wasn't like what I would call this kind of action film that was going to really hold your engine. It's not super duper entertaining, but in terms of just the overall quality, The Hurt Locker, because I'll be honest, before I saw it, I kind of had low expectations. I was like, oh man. But when you watch that movie all the way through, man, it kind of has a documentary feel in parts, but the performances, anyway, I just had to say, I disagree with you on the film. But here's the thing, I'm going to throw this out there.
Sure.
I I personally, as when it comes to Tyler Perry as a businessman, an entertainment industry mogul, an executive, marketing executive, I have no criticism of the man. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say it's very few people I've conversed with that have major criticisms of him purely on the business end. Like, as you pointed out, the dude is making his money. He's done it the right way. He owns his intellectual property. And, yes, he's putting people to work. So, again, on a purely business end, I never have hated on a man, and there's very few people I know have. But let's switch that and distinguish that from the purely creative end. As a screenwriter, as a director, even as maybe a producer and an actor, I'm going to tell you what other people say. I'm not just going to throw in my own opinions, but here are the major criticisms I hear. Number one, the biggest one is that in the 70s, 80s, even 90s, you had people, black people, up in arms because they feel like a lot of Caucasian-produced TV shows and Caucasian-produced movies would have negative stereotypes of black men and black women. Like, okay, for example, when Good Times was out, people laughed at Good Times, but they said, oh, why we got to be in the projects? Why we got to be broke? You know, the Jeffersons, everybody laughed at the Jeffersons, but they said, hey, you know, why you got to act so black? So then the Cosby Show came along that kind of went against all those stereotypes. But then years later, you had people criticizing Cosby. Oh, they too bougie. But a lot of people feel like, and Spike Lee is one of these, that feel like Tyler Perry has almost reintroduced a lot of our most undesirable stereotypes. A case in point, like my previous caller, Pastor Angie, she highlighted Tasha Smith's character of Angela. Angela is very loud talking, you know, and a lot of people in real life, particularly men, they can't stand loud talking sisters like that. So, you know, they feel like that's a major stereotype. Now, here's what I say. If you're doing a movie and your objective is to kind of have what I call an over-the-top comedy, anything that's designed to be over-the-top, you can't criticize it because that's what it's designed to be. So if, say, Why Did I Get Married 2 was designed to be an over-the-top comedy, then you couldn't really criticize the character Angela because she would clearly be designed to be an exaggeration. But Tyler has this way of doing his films, for better or for worse, where he kind of combines farcical stuff with real life, real world type stuff. Like Diary of a Mad Black Woman, you have Madea, who was really over the top. But then almost all the other characters were kind of closer to realistic representations of brothers and sisters. So anyway, so since you've already praised him on the business end, and I think you and I both agree, but what do you think about Tyler purely as a creative screenwriter, a director, and a producer, and particularly how do you address the criticisms that he has reintroduced some negative stereotypes?
I think that I think that's baloney. That is utterly baloney. I think that you got to respect the medium. Okay, that's the medium which he has chosen for himself, the film, the feature film industry. Nobody wants to go there to see, you don't go to a film to see serious, knock 'em out acting. You want to do that, you go to a drama on Broadway. You're not going to get that in a film. What you have to find a character that resonates with a lot of people, not just intellectuals, not like some people in your chat room. You got to find that relates to a cross section of people. JJ did that, like you said, Good Times. Fred Sanford did that back in the day. George Jefferson did that back in the day. And now you got Madea. You had Amos and Andy Cat, Kingfish. You know, you got Madea today. That's the medium where he without Madea, he doesn't exist. He doesn't have a studio down in Atlanta. He doesn't produce five projects a year. You need that in order to fuel some of the, I thought the, a family that prays together, I thought that was pretty good work. Personally, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
But I understand what he has. He has to have that laugh factor, you know, the comic relief, the over the top, to get people in to support some of the other things that he's trying to do. So I give it. I like his. It's not 100%. It's not the best in the world, but I'm with it.
Okay. So in other words, you feel like it might not be the most whatever artistic, but it's definitely not worthy of a lot of these criticisms that are floating out there.
Because and the reason why I said it, because the majority of the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood fits in that category. Right.
Now, one last question. Did you see Why Did I Get Married To?
No, I have not. No, I have not. Now, you know what? I'll tell you this. I probably will not. I'll probably catch it on DVD because I can't keep up with him. He's putting stuff out. Every you know, he just had, what was the last one with Taisha Henson? Taraji Henson? Yeah, I mean, he put it out too fast. I don't go to the movies that often. Meet the Browns, I'll probably catch it out on DVD. It'll be on DVD in about 3 months.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. What was your first name?
Thanks. Bob.
Bob, and you in the chat room?
Yeah, B-A, Black Achievement, yep.
Oh, Black Achievement, okay, yeah. I'm
yes, sir, yes, sir. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thank
I love
you
your show,
you.
Man.
Appreciate that, brother.
Okay.
All right, I am now going to, okay, wait, some people just hung up in my phone queue. Let me see. All right, let me go with Erico 419, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and the discussion is Tyler Perry, his latest movie, Why Did I Get Married To? What are your compliments, criticisms, what's your opinions?
Hi, Alan. I actually saw the movie today about 1:15 with my son.
What's your first name?
17. My name is Rosemarie.
Oh,
and
Rosemarie.
I live in
okay.
Midwest.
Okay.
Yeah. I found myself agreeing more with Angela than Bob, although some of his opinions I did agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie and I felt a little bit overwhelmed. That is the word that I've just reached a point of being able to say. The movie overwhelmed me. It felt kind of novello-ish, or I should say more, at some parts, it kind of felt like a soap opera, but with just a little more dramatic acting. And I know, like, all the intellectual reasons why. Mm-hmm. I should dislike Tyler Perry's films because I majored in African American studies. And we studied a lot of the stereotypes like over 20 years ago in a blacks in the media class. But I do support his movies because I want to see black directors survive. And I just feel like he has room to grow, and I wish he would take some of that money that he's making off of all those movies and perhaps go back to college. I don't know for sure if he ever went, but perhaps major in fine arts or film or something that will help him be a better writer, director, have more of a focus, less of the recycled storylines. I don't feel like somebody has to be battered, beaten, cheated on, or molested in every movie that he does, and that tends to happen. But as far as his business savvy and his brand, I like his out-of-the-box thinking. I like the way he has come up and kind of, you know, I want to say kind of changed the way Hollywood perceives him. And I think a lot of that has come from him perhaps going through the Chitlin Circus. I meant Chitlin Circuit. Perhaps even some of his own struggles during his childhood, you know, as far as the rags, the riches, dream, you know, all of that. But again, the movie for me, it just felt kind of discombobulated.
What did you think of the ending of the movie?
I you know what, I actually screamed when the Malik Yoba character, Gavin, got hit by the truck. And my son was like, you know what? Janet Jackson was a murderer. She murdered the baby. Then she murdered the husband. You know, and I was like, it was just, I felt like it was out of nowhere and it wasn't necessary. And I kind of felt like a point that you made earlier, some of the characters started to turn, like Troy. I was wondering if he was going to batter Sheila. You know, we saw a different side of his personality. It was just, like I said, it was just so much going on that it just overwhelmed me. And at some points, I didn't even know where to begin to even have an intelligent discussion with my son about the movie because there was just so much there. We got people cheating, as Angela pointed out. We got people shooting up houses, and they don't even know what's going on. We have, with Angela, I could see, you know, the sapphire stereotype. I could see that, but I also laughed at a lot of the stuff that she said and did. I thought it was funny. She wasn't the most well-behaved woman, but
again, as I told the last caller, Angela, on a positive end, she's very funny. She might be arguably the most entertaining character in that movie. But where I personally had a problem, and at least quite a few people I talked to have a problem, is that if you're doing for example, I mentioned Coming to America at the beginning. Most of that movie is kind of over the top in many ways. So you're going to have characters that are not necessarily representative of reality. And so if you're doing kind of like a movie that's a straight parody of real life people and is designed to be over the top, then a character like Angela fits right in. But if you're calling this a movie that's supposed to be like more or less a realistic representation of brothers and sisters, then that's when you go into the area of saying, well, Angela, you know, she's kind of like a stereotypical loud talking sister. And but honestly, throughout the film, she wasn't the biggest problem I had with the film. You know, and other people I talked to, although she's definitely gotten her share of criticisms too, but. Yeah, that whole ending where, you know, where Janet comes in and calls Gavin a whole bunch of bitches and whatnot, I was just like, okay, where did that come from? But anyway, yeah, it's interesting, and I'm glad you. So, what did your son think about it? How old is he?
He will be 17 on the 20th. April, and he said that he wanted Tyler to bring Madea back, and I kind of chuckled. I was like, well, he can't do too much more with Madea. She's gone to jail. I'm like, where do you go from there after being locked up? I mean, what else can Madea do? And I pointed out, you know, the scene where she took the lady's car with the crane in, was it Walmart or Kmart somewhere, and, you know, just, like, lifted the woman's car up and destroyed it. And I'm like, Madea needs anger management for real. And I had a Madea, too, but she wasn't that over the top, so... there is, I agree with Angela, there is a lot of dysfunction, and he does need to consult some people that can kind of help him hone his writing skills. And if he could just stop using the same actors over and over in his different movies, I would appreciate that as well. Otherwise, I will support his film simply because I can look at him from a critical lens, and I want to see black writers, directors, actors survive in Hollywood. And it, I mean, we can't just totally abandon them. Perhaps if we weigh in with what we don't like, we can kind of change their focus as opposed to just shutting them down, because then we don't have anything, and then we're really going to be moaning.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your thoughts and your comments and opinions, Rose Marie.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you have a great evening. Listeners, if you want to call in with your thoughts and opinions on Tyler Perry's latest feature film, Why Did I Get Married 2, or any of his other films or specific storylines or characters, please call in 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I see you 708 and 614, but I'm going to take a quick intermission. But when I get back, I will be talking to you, and I will be answering the phone lines. If you're call into my phone queue, please press the number one. Press number one. That lets me know you want to talk. If I see some numbers that are in my phone queue, and if it's just a number, that makes me think you're just listening. But if you press one, that lets me know that you want to say something. So if you call in, please press number one so I know that you want to say something. But in the meantime, I am going to take a quick 3-4 minute intermission, and I will be right back.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job. We'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you might say someone and tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/leftblank. To email your story to us anonymously, send it to joollialiali@joollialiali.com.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Some women is a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my discussion on Tyler Perry and his latest film, Why Did I Get Married Too, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Now, as you know, normally I usually have a guest that I'm interviewing, or maybe sometimes I have a guest co-host that I'm chatting it up with. But tonight I'm having what's known as my open discussion forum, where I take a topic and just throw it out there to my listeners to discuss and offer their opinions and perspectives on whatever the given topic is. And tonight's topic is filmmaker, entertainment mogul Tyler Perry, and his latest film, Why Did I Get Married Too? And the reason I chose this as a topic for tonight's discussion was I was on the Internet Movie Database, otherwise known as IMDb, imdb.com, and there's a message board attached to all the pages. And the message board for Why Did I Get Married Too was off the chain. I mean, you got people who really, really love Tyler Perry and people who don't care for him at all. Then you got some people, as I pointed out earlier, what's interesting is that most people who criticize Tyler Perry's films are people who don't like any of his films. But on this particular film, you had some people who are considered themselves normal Tyler Perry fans, but they did not like this particular film, specifically the ending. What's getting the most criticism with this most recent film is the ending. The ending kind of went in a direction that kind of threw a lot of people for a loop. If you saw the original, Why Did I Get Married, you'll notice that if you see both movies, at least one-third or so of the characters, one-third to one-half of the characters are different in this film than they were in the first one. They showed sides of themselves in this film that you never really saw in the first. Now, I will say myself, I love the first one. Why Did I Get Married? The original is actually my favorite Tyler Perry film. You know, there was maybe two or three things I had a problem with on a minor level, but overall, that was actually my favorite Tyler Perry film was Why Did I Get Married? The original Why Did I Get Married? But yeah, the sequel, it was different. It had an ending that kind of threw a lot of people a loop. But what I'm looking for tonight is people with strong opinions about Tyler Perry and his latest film. And right now, I'm gonna go with area code 708. Area code 708. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Is this Scholar 2414?
Yes, it is, bro.
What's happening, brother? How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm chilling, you know.
So, Scholar, man, give me some scholarly opinions on what do you think about Tyler Perry? First of all, did you see his latest film?
Yeah, I saw it last night.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Why Did I Get Married Too?
Man, that movie was bullshit.
Tell us how you really feel, Scholar.
This is why I do not support Tyler Perry or his films. I can't get on the plays, you know, because the earlier plays were good as hell. But I mean, I don't support his movies, man. Because I mean, that movie was bullshit. I mean, it didn't stay true to the first one. It didn't end off on a logical closure point. I mean, the characters were off the wall. Shoot, I'm I'm getting mad at the goddamn characters, and I'm talking to the damn movie like, nigga, why are you still with her? Leave her ass. Leave her. You know, I'll be
okay, if I had to put you on the spot, name one character of all the eight characters, well, really it was mainly nine characters, actually, of the nine primary characters in the film, which character disappointed you the most? Particularly after seeing
be,
the original Why Did I Get Married, what character were you just shaking your head like, man, I ain't feeling this character at all?
Damn. I would throw in all of them, but I mean, it probably would have to be Patricia.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll probably have to be her because the other three, you know, Jill Scott's character would have to be a close second, but hers was very real 360. Real 360. Because before I watched the movie, I heard about that dang on birthday theme, and I thought, oh, Angela did that shit. Then I was surprised to say, Patricia did that? Oh, hell no, nah, homie. No, nah, you can't. Man, like I said, that whole movie was bullshit from beginning to end. It wasn't just the ending. It was everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't just have a Christmas ending. You said you had a Christmas from start to finish.
From start to finish. I'm like, why is Terry still with this chick? In one, she basically told you she doesn't want to get married. You're still being bothered with the same old bullshit from this woman. You should have left in part one. Why are you staying with her? All of a sudden, and then it was like.
Wait, so my audience will know who you're talking about. First, Patricia, you mentioned Patricia. That's Janet Jackson's character. She plays Dr. Patricia Agnew, who's like a psychiatrist and a book author. And then you just mentioned Terry. That's Tyler Perry's character in the film. And
yeah.
You saying Tyler Perry's character should have left his wife or should have never married her in the first place?
Should have never married her or left her because, I mean, okay, she gets her tubes tied. That was a very selfish act. She's a very highly selfish person. And she's portraying that to you. Why are you still with her? Then she's getting ready for some other nigga and you still with her? Oh, fuck that. She fucking that nigga even though they didn't say or hint that she was having sex with that nigga. You need to leave. You should have got up and said, fuck you, bitch, I'm gone. You should have did Dago Red Brother and Dago God with the Wind. Just left. What is you doing? I mean, Jill Scott character, now she all hood and whatnot. Now, Mike's character is wife beater. I mean, come on. I mean, like I said, the whole movie was bullshit. It was bullshit. I mean, I don't see how it was good. It was Tyler Perry killed himself artistically with this shit. Really.
Okay, now let me ask you, have you always been critical of his films, or was this pretty much the first film that disappointed you?
No, I've critiqued all these films, and I was like, nah, this just ain't working. You know,
were there any films that you did like? Any films of his that you liked?
Probably the one that made the most, that I probably liked the most, was Daddy's Little Girl. Because you don't see a lot of, you know, father figures out there. But that was nice. I thought that was cool. I mean, it was off the top, but, I mean, that was a cool movie. That was all right. That was okay.
Okay. All right. All right, Scholar. Well, I appreciate you calling in, man, as always. And I asked for strong opinions, and you gave me strong opinions. Now I'm going to go with Erico 614. I know who this is. Getting up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is my girl and fellow sports aficionado, Adrian Diva 362636.
Hey, AC.
I heard a rumor about you today.
What rumor did you hear?
I heard you are no longer Diva 362636. I heard you Diva 36, 25, 39. That's what I heard.
Oh, that rumor's wrong.
What is your opinion? First of all, since I got you on the phone, your old sports mind itself, what did you think about the NCAA championship game?
It broke my heart. I was sitting here with my pillow waiting for Butler to hit that last shot to at least go into overtime, but it broke my heart to see Butler lose.
Oh, me too, man. I mean, Butler, oh, man, yeah, I wanted them to win so bad, and I became a fan of their player, Gordon Hayward, but he just could not drop them shots because, man, you and I both know there's certain teams you love, and then there's
certain teams you hate. And
yeah, exactly. And Duke is just one of them teams I just don't like. Again, if you listen to my show, you live in North Carolina, you graduate from Duke, it's nothing personal. Nothing personal. I don't wish that nothing happened to anybody, none of their family members, nothing. I'm talking about purely on a sports level. I just do not like Duke. Can I, anytime they lost in a tournament, I would pour some champagne in celebration. That's how much I hate Duke. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Duke. We're here to talk about Tyler Perry. Agent, what are your thoughts? First of all, did you see Why Did I Get Married To?
I did. I went to go see it last night in preparation for tonight's show.
Oh, I appreciate that. And what were your general thoughts on the movie?
I was extremely disappointed. I was embarrassed by Angela's character. The scene in the airport, absolutely ridiculous. The scene where she goes on live television and cusses her husband out, embarrassing. As a black woman, I was truly embarrassed by Angela's character. And then she's shooting up her own house. What the hell? That's ridiculous. Because she can't get a password to a cell phone? Then you need to be creative. Figure out what the password to the cell phone is. I mean, it's not, men are not that difficult to figure out in terms of when they put their passwords together. It's not that difficult.
Trying to say that you just know my password got peach snapple or chicken wings in it. That's what you're trying to say?
Or Tyler Collins.
See, now I got to go change three passwords. You devil, you.
I did not like the ending. Very disappointed at the ending. Very disappointed in Janet Jackson's character. You know, if you're going to tear up some shit, don't tear up your own shit. She took off and did damage to her house. I'm like, I'm sitting here looking at the house, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? And you're supposed to be the same calm one. I mean, just everything. I agree with Scholar. Everything about it from start to finish, I was just greatly disappointed in. It was choppy. It got to the point where the storylines were rushed. They set them. They set the stories up nice. But then he spent the first hour reminding us of everything that happened in the first movie, which we didn't need. We all remember the movie. Everybody that saw it remembers what happened, the dinner scene and all of that. So we didn't need the first hour for you to remind us what happened in the first movie. So then the second hour, everything was rushed, and now I get your comment on Facebook, fix it. What the hell? Fix it, and everybody just jumps up and starts kissing each other? I mean, that just, I don't know, I was just greatly, highly, highly disappointed. Highly disappointed, especially after all the hype. He'd been hyping this movie since last September.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I've already expressed a lot of my opinions. Yeah, it's the movie. It was, because, again, I wasn't the biggest. I always preface my comments towards Tyler saying this. On a purely business end, as I told one of the callers earlier, I don't have anything negative to say about that brother.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's handling his business. So when it comes on the business side of the entertainment industry, I don't think there's really any valid criticism you can extend towards him. He's a true rags to riches story, and he's done the smart things by owning his films, owning his material. Now that being said, on the creative and artistic end, here's why I started having problems. Like Diary of a Mad Black Woman, And I've seen this happen with a few other movies, so I'm not going to just say it's just this movie that this has happened to, but there's certain movies, and you'll see critics say it sometimes, they'll say, this movie needs to make up its mind what it wants to be. And in Diary of a Mad Black Woman, you can't have an over-the-top character like a Madea and then try to make all the other characters very realistic.
Right.
It just don't work. You either got to have all the characters be over the top, or you got to have none of them be over the top. And I just, yeah, I had a problem with that. And so that was the problem I had with the first film. And I'm not going to go through all the films. But yeah, this one, I liked the first one. That was of all the movies he made, that was probably my favorite, was the original, Why Did I Get Married? But then, yeah, I felt like he deviated so much.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know where he was going. Where he was going. The fact that Mike beat Sheila never in the first movie was that even, it wasn't even brought up, hinted at that Mike was beating Sheila in the first movie. And then all of a sudden, you have one clip, he asked Sheila, he says he needs help, and then the next clip, Troy is beating his ass, and he's got cancer. What the hell? It was all over the place, all over the place. And, you know, I agree with you. I will never knock a brother or sister for being successful and getting there. So, you know, as long as it's legal and you getting your money, more power to him. I'm proud of the brother, and he is a truly rags-to-riches story. But I think that, you know, it's time to. He said he was going to retire, Madea. He said that 2 years ago.
Hey, wait, Adrian?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got to, I'm going to go to intermission break because they're telling me in the chat room that the sound is no longer on. So let me kind of put our conversation on hold. Listeners, I'll be right back while I check on the sound.